এখন বেদমন্ত্র পাঠ করব, সবাই পার্টিসিপেট করুন। ওং বাগ্মে মনসি প্রতিষ্ঠিতা মনঃ মে বাচি প্রতিষ্ঠিতম্।
ওম বাগ্মে মনসি প্রতিষ্ঠিতম্, মনঃ মে বাচি প্রতিষ্ঠিতম্।
আবিহি আবিহি মেধি, বেদস্যমানিষ্টাঃ শ্রুতং মে মা প্রহসিহ। অনেন দিতেন অহোরাত্রান সন্দদামি, প্রীতং বদিষ্যামি সত্যং বদিষ্যামি। তৎমামবতু তদ্ভক্তারামবতু। আবতু মাম আবতু ভক্তারাম আবতু ভক্তারাম। ওম শান্তি শান্তি শান্তি,
ওম শান্তি শান্তি শান্তি।
ওম আপয়ন্তু মম অঙ্গানি বাক প্রাণঃ চক্ষুঃ। শ্রোত্রমাথাঃ বলম ইন্দ্রিয়াণি চ সর্বাণি। সর্বং ব্রহ্ম উপনিষদাম্। মাহং ব্রহ্ম নিরাকুরিয়াত মাম ব্রহ্ম নিরাকরোত্। অনিরাকর্ণমস্তু অনিরাকর্ণমেয়স্তু। धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति 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 पूर्णमादः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
सह नो अवतु सह नो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजसी नौ अधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति
ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवति हरियो महा
ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवति
शां नो इन्द्रः बृहस्पतिः शां नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमः ब्रह्मणे नमः ते वायु त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मसि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि प्रीतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तद् मामवतु तद्भक्ताणामवतु भवतु माम् आवतु भक्ताराम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णीभिः शृण्वां देवा भद्रं पशेमाक्षवीययोत्रः Siriyangai tustu vangshotanu vihi Vashima devahi tangayatayu Om shanti 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 We are now starting our discussion today. For some reason, I'm speaking in English. I'm now connected from London City, from a hotel room in the London City. It's in the Regent Park's area, in Marriott Regent Park. So, this session is on Purushottam, the God, the Supreme Personality. The Purushottam is a concept which is there in our ancient scriptures, including the Rig Vedas and up to the, you know, Atharva Vedas. In almost all the Vedas, it has been there. However, there is a separate chapter on the Purushottam in the Bhagavad Gita, wherein Lord Krishna has elaborated upon the concept of Purushottam to Arjuna in a simple manner, which is connected with the concept and theories of Bhagavad Gita as previously elaborated upon by him. In the Bhagavad Gita, the first remarkable thing is the revelation of the divine in its cosmic form. The name given is Vishwarup Darshan Yoga. Vishwarup is the cosmic identity or the cosmic form of the Supreme. And this cosmic identity or the cosmic form is actually, for the identity which has to be discovered and identified through realization. This identity can't be seen in our eyes. We are equipped with, we are familiar with the news and news reporting system in the world, including audiovisual reporting system. The audiovisual reporting system so far has gone to the extent of overviewing the things and capturing piecemeal of that, or bits and pieces of the incidents or the focus points, without creating a connection of the focus things with the previous and the past and the forward. The most important reporting personality in the human civilization until today, right from the ancient period until today, the most profound and most important, the reporting personality can be considered, to my mind, he is Sanjay. Sanjay is a person who had narrated the entire incident of the portion of time which is covered by the Bhagavad Gita. And he was, seeing everything from a distance, narrating everything from a distance, with a distant vision, as the sages do have the distant vision. It was mentioned by Lord Krishna, it has been mentioned in two places in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna, that the sages of the Vedic period, they were the people who have contributed to the wisdom of the, Supreme, and, the ways of achieving and realizing the Supreme. Lord Krishna has mentioned that the sages are at different places, and some of them are immortal, they don't die. You know, as we know, there are seven sages who are immortal. So they survive through the ages and the millennia, and they are surviving and shall continue surviving for the future period. They are known as collectively Saptarshi. Saptarshi is Sapta Rishi, meaning the seven sages. And the seven sages are those who are actually the sages who communicate to the world of the humans the message that needs to be communicated. So when the Vishwarup or the cosmic view of the Supreme was exposed to Krishna, the Arjuna, Lord Krishna had said that, you know, the sages can see. Sanjaya is endowed with by the sage Vash to see here in details and in minute details. But Arjuna, other human persons can't see, and Sanjaya will not continue to see it afterwards. So for Sanjaya, the period that he could watch this, observe this, is a period allocated to him and granted as a kind of boon by a great sage Vyasa, the composer of the entire Mahabharata and the, you know, general editor of the Vedas. Lord Krishna said to Arjuna that, unless I endow you with the vision, you can't actually see the details and the entire dynamics of the thing. And Arjuna's prayer was granted, so he was endowed with the vision. Now the vision which Arjuna had seen in the Vishwarupa Darshan Yoga has got three different, you know, layers of it. In the first layer, the overall dynamics of the creation. In the second layer, the functioning of the creation. And in the third layer, the functioning leading to the culmination of the creation and leaving space for the next phase of it. So these were the three layers of the vision of the, you know, cosmic form of Lord as it was granted to Arjuna and not granted to anybody else. But who were there to, you know, watch and, you know, experience that? Those great sages, as Lord Krishna mentioned, those seven sages, great sages, they were there from their own place, from a distance. They were there who had the power of that vision and could see and could watch. Arjuna was granted, you know, by Lord Krishna for that. And another person is, for the time being, only Sanjaya. Sanjaya had a, you know, dedicated duty. And in that dedicated duty, he was supposed to narrate the whole set of incidents to his king, Dhritarashtra, who is, you know, blind, who was blind and had passed on the power of the government to his son, Duryodhana. And that son was making all devil things, all illegal things, all wrong things, and had led to the war of the Mahabharata. It is being said in the context of the war of the Mahabharata. Now Arjuna was competent enough to, you know, destroy the entire enemy even before the war starts. Sage Vash has mentioned in the, you know, Birat segment, Birat Parva of Mahabharata, wherein at the end of their stay of a period of 1 year, all five brothers of the Pandavas, including Arjuna, was there in the palace, and on the last day of that, the kingdom was at stake because it was attacked by Duryodhana, assuming that the Pandavas could be there under the shelter of Virat. Virat was in the central place of India, and it is a part of the central India. It was a part of the central India. And the attack Duryodhana had made with his entire, you know, force, entire army, and all the generals and the leading, you know, warriors of his side. And therefore, Virat had to protect its, you know, sovereignty. It's in order to protect that, it had to, you know, do the war. But the moment it heard that, you know, such a great, you know, warriors like, you know, who were there with Duryodhana, they have come in the, you know, team of Duryodhana to attack them. So the son of Virat, who was leading the army, was so much scared. But still, he thought that he will go and face along with his army. And Arjuna was taken, though he had a different role of singing and dancing and training the daughter of the, you know, king on the singing and dancing, which he had learned from the exile in the heaven for a period. Now, Arjuna was pushed by an advisor in the form of the advisor. Yudhishthira was there, and he had pushed Arjuna to that in the hope that if Arjuna is there, he could alone save the, you know, kingdom from the onslaughts of Duryodhana. He had that faith. And that's what required Arjuna to be in the, be, you know, in the form of a warrior in terms of getting his own weapons unloaded from where it was, you know, kept. And then, you know, join the prince to face the war. And while doing this, the day almost was to, you know, came towards end of it. And that was the last day of the exile of, you know, being in the forest by these five brothers and the mother. And that day when the sun sets, their period is over. Because the condition was, if they are discovered anywhere before expiry of that period of 12 years, they will be again put to exile for another period of 12 years, which they have to accept. So that was a very critical and crucial point of time. But then eventually what had happened, then the entire thing took a time. And then when Arjuna was in form, by that time sun was almost getting, you know, setting down. And at that point it is, you know, twilight, when the sun is almost, sun is setting down. The sun is not visible, but the, you know, light of the sun is slightly visible. And therefore the day formally is over, but, you know, the visibility is not over. So that is the time when Arjuna had to come to his own form, and in order to protect this entire, you know, entire kingdom, he was alone on that side, and the others were with a big army and lot of, you know, almost all warriors and the generals of his side were there. So Arjuna had the had the objective to protect them, and in order to protect them, he did not have any choice. So what he did is, he had applied a very powerful weapon, which otherwise he doesn't, you know, like to use, but he had used. And that weapon alone, in one shot, it could, you know, make everybody on the other side, you know, senseless, faint, and collapse, and they were in such a kind of situation that nobody could even stand up. You know, everybody had fallen to their chariot, fallen on the floor of their chariot. And now Arjuna could, it was a choice by Arjuna. So Arjuna could easily kill everybody, Or instead of killing everybody, he could kill the king. And if the king is killed, then the, you know, kingdom is defeated. So if the king Duryodhana, at that time Duryodhana was having the authority of the kingdom, therefore he could be mentioned as a king, not a prince. So if the king is killed, then everything is over. So there will be no war afterwards. But you know, the destiny was different. Therefore, and Arjuna had a ethical choice. He did not apply. He did not break the ethical barrier. He had made everybody, you know, fall down, defeated, senseless, fainted, and surrender to, you know, the prince of Virat. But then he did not kill anybody. He did not kill anybody. So he had maintained his ethics that others could not do the war with him directly because they could not face even him. He was so magnanimous in his authority and the power that all others combined were not a match with Arjuna. This has been proved in the war of Virat. And Sage Vash comes to a comment. He says that, you know, the entire episode of the Mahabharata could come to a close and on that particular day if Arjuna had violated the ethical principles and took the sword in his hand and cut chop off the head of everybody from their body, and then that was actually the end of the entire war. At the cost of a few lives only, he could save the, you know, millions of lives thereafter. Arjuna did not do that. It was a question asked later on by many scholars that why did Arjuna, refrain from doing that? Why didn't he kill them? He made everybody fainted down, but he did not kill anybody. He could easily kill, but he had a sympathy for most of them because, you know, his teacher, his, you know, seniors and those who have nurtured. So kind of sympathy, kind of respectful sympathy Arjuna had maintained to others except Duryodhana. And therefore, he did not kill anybody. But still, there is another question that if he has got a sympathy for others and not Duryodhana, then why didn't he kill Duryodhana and make an end? The answer to this is given by Arjuna. Arjuna mentions that, you know, Duryodhana had to be killed in the hand of Vim. Because on the day when the, you know, chase was being played, on that day, Vim had made a promise to, you know, kill all sons of Dhritarashtra, by himself. So it has to be, you know, done by him. So Duryodhana was spared to be killed by Vim. Therefore, you know, Arjuna did not kill him. So he had spared Duryodhana because he is to be killed by Bhima at the war. And others he spared because he had a bit of sympathy for others. So therefore, this did not happen. But then again, everybody understood the power and the magnanimity of the power and the, you know, enormous power that Arjuna himself had, which is more than match of the entire power of the Kuru, you know, or the, you know, Duryodhana side, including all the big persons, all the big warriors, all the very famous warriors, including those who have been so much elated by many scholars later on. They were actually no match for Arjuna in any way. But this was a, you know, scenario after which the war got started. And on the start of the war, the, you know, delusion of Arjuna had, become so profuse that, you know, he was unwilling to do the war, and then, therefore, the Bhagavad Gita came in place. Arjuna was taught by Lord Krishna in different steps, you know, starting from the, you know, scolding him, in the beginning scolding him on, you know, doing something which is, you know, unbecoming of a warrior like him. But then again, he started teaching him with different methods, different procedures, different fundamentals, different theories, the theory of the self, and conditions through which one can connect with God. Everything, all the yogas were taught to him. And finally, the, you know, profoundness of God on earth, when God comes to earth with a purpose. And that purpose was mentioned by Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna had mentioned, while mentioning about the purpose, he had mentioned that the purpose itself was something which the entire society has to thrive on for a, you know, later, for a future point of time. Therefore, the purpose was something to establish the truth in the society and to make the society truthful. In the process, when this Visharupa, or this, you know, cosmic form of Lord was mentioned, he came to now the application of the concept of Brahman and the application of the concept of the Supreme or the wisdom of the Supreme in life. Lord Krishna considered Arjuna as the, you know, best devotee of him. Who is the best devotee of Lord Krishna? The answer is Arjuna. There are so many views, there are so many thoughts. There are many streams. There are many streams of spiritual practices in India and abroad, in many countries of the world, who think that the God can be approached in many ways, which is a fact and correct. And but then, you know, nowhere it has been mentioned about the magnanimity and superiority of Arjuna. The entire Bhagavatam highlights two great personalities as the devotee. One is, Prahlad, the demon king Prahlad Maharaj. And the other one is Dhruva, very young person born of a great heritage and with a great background in the previous lives. And these two personalities are considered the most profound devotees in a human origin. And another person who is actually human origin, but has got a lineage with the gods and the sages, is Narada. So Narada added to that, and so Prahlad and Dhruva basically, and Narada also in addition, is considered as the devotees of profoundness and most important devotees in the eyes of those who worship Lord Krishna alone. But Lord Krishna has never accepted that. It is the kind of thought by the devotees of Krishna, but it is not mentioned by Krishna. Krishna himself has mentioned of Arjuna being the most profound and most, you know, chosen and most liked and most dear devotee of him. Why? Because, you know, he considers the person with a particular mix of personality that he has elaborated immediately after, you know, the exposition of the cosmic form. He taught Arjuna of the bhakti yoga, the God connect through devotion. And in the bhakti yoga, he has mentioned that when it is one and the God, one person and God, Krishna and Arjuna, when this context is there, then devotion develops. Bhakti has to be one-to-one. Bhakti cannot be, you know, in an undefined way. Bhakti has to have a defined focus. And without the focus of a personality, bhakti doesn't creep in. Bhakti or devotion creeps in when there is a personality. And the personality of God, who is there a constant accompanying person of Arjuna, is the personality of focus. It's not only that they have a, you know, spiritual connect. It's not only that they have got a connect in the, you know, intrinsics. God also mentions that it has been mentioned by the sages of the Vedas that the Supreme, you can focus on the Supreme, realize the presence of Supreme in your heart. And that is the place where God prefers to reside on. And in the heart, in the cave of the heart, where God prefers to reside, is in an invisible form, non-structured and a formless form. So how does he reside over there? He's given examples of Vayu, the air. Somebody has, there are some people like Shankaracharya also mentioned it as air, but some of the disciples of Shankaracharya mentioned it as ether. It's not ether, it's air. Because it's mentioned, Vayuhu. It's mentioned that it's air. Arjuna has mentioned in his, you know, prayer to God. Arjuna himself has mentioned that it is Vayu. So what is the, you know, profoundness of Vayu? Vayu or air is present everywhere. Even if you put a barrier to that, it penetrates. Now making it a vacuum is a great thing. Those who have got some idea about this Torricelli's experiment. Torricelli's experiment was there, you know, wherein a small place, a small space within, if you gradually pull out the air from within, if you make a mechanism to pull out the air from within, and once if you make a mechanism which gets it pulled out, no air inside, vacuum. Now the power of vacuum. The power of vacuum, you have to use the horsepower to, you know, open the lid, which has been made vacuum by extracting air from inside. So when it is air, it is all profound. When it is made vacuum, it is even more powerful. So that's what Lord Krishna is mentioning, that, you know, Vayuhu yamaha agnihi varuna shashanko. Like, you know, Arjuna makes a prayer saying that, you are like, you know, Vayu, the air, which is all profound everywhere. But how can it be? He is in a form. Then how can he remain in the form of, you know, air? That is the question. The sages have resolved that question afterwards. That's one approach to understand him as Vayu. The other approach is to understand him as a void. So in the cosmic system, there are places where there is no air of this kind. There are places where you have a emptiness, vacuum. And that emptiness or vacuum has constituted to be, you know, within the black hole, or there are some places in the cosmic system which is a very large place. And, you know, several thousand times the place that we have occupied in this creation. So that vacuum is also a part of this creation. So it is air, it is a vacuum. Also he is mentioning that it is like a light which can go everywhere unless registered. The sun rays are there. It can go everywhere. It has got the openness to everywhere. Lord Krishna is mentioning to Arjuna, You want to understand the Supreme. If you want to understand, look at the sun. The rays of the sun are for everybody. Unless you close it, unless you restrict it, it's there for everybody. We know the earth system, when you fly across the, you know, oceans, you will find that a part of the earth system is having the light, the other part is having the darkness, and gradually it is, you know, changing. Position is changing. Time changes, so the light of the sun, solar system, also changes its own coverage of the landmass in the world. Therefore, it, at a time, it, you know, provides light to half of the entire earth, but it, since it is, earth is moving and the sun is also moving, so what happens is the light goes to everywhere. Certain polar regions are there where the light doesn't go every day, every time, but there are some, you know, seasons, there are some, you know, periods of time in the world, in the year, when the light penetrates there as well. So Lord Krishna suggests to Arjuna that you have an understanding. You have a, you know, some idea. What is that idea? The idea is, you know, if you look at the sun, you will find the sun offers its rays of, you know, light to everybody. Those who want to take it, they take. Those who do not want to take it, they close and shut their doors and windows. So they don't get. So if you have opened your, you know, doors and windows of mind, you are now mind and consciousness, you are now getting the touch of the illumination. And the illumination will do what? Will offer light to yourself and contribute light to the others. Then Arjuna is taught on the different types of personalities. Lord Krishna says that, look here, Arjuna, there are three different types of personalities. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Because, you know, the entire creation has two different identities basically. And in order to understand that, you need to understand the personalities. What are those two different personalities, two different identities? One is the Kshetra, the other is the Kshetragya. Kshetra is a territory, is a place, or is a focus of time and the boundary of time. Kshetragya is someone, you know, who has the idea, knowledge and wisdom about the owner of the place and owner of time. So Lord has mentioned to Arjuna saying that, look at, the world is, the entire human activity is categorized into two. One is Kshetra, the other one is Kshetragya. You should be clear about the Kshetra. What is your focus area, focus point? You are a warrior. You have been endowed with certain duties. You are saying that I am not going to do the work. Fine, no problem. You have seen that even if you don't do the work, it will happen. Whether you do the work or not, those evil forces will be smashed. They have their time already identified. So they will go off the world. Now, if you join that, and if you do it as per your, you know, dedicated, your assigned responsibility, then you have the right to make a point that, yes, you have done as per the direction and suggestion of God. Now, this is the human dynamics, like, you know, where Lord Krishna tells Arjuna to be, to try and understand and become the Kshetragya. Kshetragya is someone who has got the wisdom and the knowledge, of the kshetra. And Lord has said that kshetra is something where it's a creation not by you but by the superior entity, the God. So whatever you possess, it is you who has actually earned that. Your knowledge, your qualification, your activities, your expertise, your skill, your wisdom, your profoundness, your, you know, spread of character, your spread of, you know, power of behavior, everything put together, what you are is, yes, it's developed by you, done by you, you know, it's yours. But he says, it's not yours. The moment you understand that it's not yours, you are endowed with these things, then you develop the personality of a devotee until that you don't have. A devotee will be a person who understands the and realizes and develops a, you know, wisdom about the entire factors of creation wherein the person, she or he, understands that this is all factors of God. Now, usually there is a devil question, and the devil question says, if there is a problem in my life and there is a problem in the world, there is a disaster some part of the world, then who is responsible for that? These are the devil questions. And the answer to the devil question is that, you know, the again, anywhere in the world, anything has happened is an effect of the cause created either singularly or collectively by people of that part of the world. So Lord Krishna suggests Arjuna to be careful about the duties assigned. That's very important. If you have got an assigned duty, if you have received any kind of inspiration, inspired suggestion, or a kind of allotted suggestions or a kind of allotted responsibility for anything, and you apply your consideration from a different angle, you are doing real crime. If you understand that this is something which is assigned to you by God in your life, then leave aside everything, forget about everything, forget about any other consideration. Focus on that and you will find life is better. On the other hand, if you deny and if you reject the suggest of and the duty by God, and then you follow your own mind and the impacts and impositions of the world on the mind, then you have taken a wrong route. Lord Krishna says, the second variety who rejects the imperatives of God and the advices of God in life is a, you know, combination of rajasic and tamasic personality. The person has to rise above that. And how to get risen about it? He says there are three different personalities, sattva, rajas and tamas. Now, the combination that at the end of it Lord Krishna suggests, he says, Satvan Sukhi Sanjayoti. Sattva is a personality where you have that pleasure of living a life which is, you know, a life that serves God properly. On the other hand, a life which is now inclined to rajas and tamas qualities, coming apart from the sattva, that life is a life which would actually invite in disguise all the sorrows and sufferings awaited for the next period. Now the sorrows or sufferings become very, very obvious and cannot be resisted. They have to the person or the group of people or the society or the country or the part of the world has to pass through that and experience that. It's a kind of doctrine of karma which comes back as a bouncing back of the spirit of the work and the thoughts for that work. Impossibility, the theory of impossibility, there has been a discussion by a great person on this Bhagavad Gita's this principle, and Saint Ramanujam, and he's a Vaishnavite, you know, great sage, and he's mentioning that, you know, when we have a faith in God and we mention that we have a faith in God and we receive some kind of advice from God, as Arjuna has received, and thereafter we, you know, desert that, we betray on that, we come out of that and we deny that, even for a moment, is a kind of inviting the spirit of Rajas and Tamas for the life and for the society, for human society at large. Therefore, he says, as it was advised by Lord Krishna to Arjuna, that you follow your duty, be your duty oriented. That's your duty, to be in the spirit of divine. And while you are in the spirit of divine, what you do is, you have the chance of becoming a sage. You have the chance of developing a person of realization. On the other hand, if you don't follow this, you will have a perception of a realization, which is the wrong perception. And you will perceive that the other way you can also have a realization, which is a tamasic, you know, way of thinking. Then Lord Krishna said, Arjuna, you have to have the sattva as a core principle of life. Sattva is what? Dhritik, shamaha, damaha, asteha, shaucha, indriya, nigriya, dihi, vidya, satyam, akshrodha, arjavam, parisamcha. Like this. The daivi gunas of 26 varieties which he has mentioned in Devasura Sampad Vibhag, all the daivi gunas are there in sattva. And there is a one point mentioning of everything together which Lord Krishna has mentioned to Arjuna in this Kshetragya, you know, the idea of Kshetragya. There is mention that the moment you receive a message of God in your realization, and Arjuna was factually present before him. So Arjuna was fortunate in getting a fact of the message of God, you know, physical message of God. So God physically had mentioned to Arjuna that this is a war. He was the main person of the righteous, you know, people. You have to wage the war against those who are unrighteous, those who are doing adharma. You have to, you know, face them. And you forget about your thing. Whether you die or you survive, that's a different thing. You leave it to God. There is no situation which could, you know, ultimately spoil Arjuna. Yes, the casualties of the families and others were there. There are so many other reasons. But, you know, God has protected the person, and the person is fully protected until the end. And until the person takes a choice of his or her own, within the protection of God, she or he remains. And that's what had happened to Arjuna. So now he says, Kshetragya, being a Kshetragya is very important, because then only you understand what combination of personality you need to have. The combination of personality that is important for the human society to survive and grow for the future. We call it a sustainable society. If it has to be a sustainable society, the combination of personality has to be based on sattva. Basically, sattva personality. And then Lord Krishna has mentioned in the Rajaguna, there are so many vices, like desire is there, greed is there, arrogance is there, krodha, the anger is there, the thinking of others, you know, and getting things from the others, unlawful way, all these things are there. Gluttony is there. Covetousness is there. All these are there. But in there is a very strong positive factor, which is, you know, dynamism of rajas. Many of us should be aware of what Swami Vivekananda of India had mentioned in United States of America during the last before last century, almost end of it. During his travel and lectures, he had mentioned that it is needed for the human society and particularly for the youthful energies, for the youth of the world, to cultivate the entire sattva on the framework of the rajas. When he had landed to when he had landed on his way back to India, he had landed to, you know, Colombo and delivered a series of talks from Colombo to Almora, which is included in a separate text of Colombo to Almora. In that text, he has mentioned that Rajagun double dose, meaning he had mentioned that, you know, the dynamism of the rajas is very important, which is actually mentioned by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita at the end of its Kshetragya. Now, in the Kshetragya, what is mentioned is, in order to cultivate this sattva, and in order to get the sattva applied in life, you need to have the, you know, the framework of rajas, meaning the power of rajas, not those vices of rajas, the power of rajas, the energy of rajas, but the qualities of sattva. What are the qualities of sattva? This has been mentioned by, you know, some of the later, you know, analysts of Bhagavad Gita, like Mahatma Gandhi, Bala Gangadhar Tilak, and many others from, you know, other part of the country, those who are connected with the society in different forms. They mentioned that, you know, karma, if you have to have the karma in a collective forum, the karma in the collective forum requires the, you know, the yogi or the karma yogi who will do the karma based on the qualities and the attributes which are desired or expected of the person or the group of people or the society to perform the karma. So it is the collective karma which sets a tone about the collective consciousness. And therefore Lord Krishna says that in the karma, you have the dynamism, so you be oriented to your duty, never deviate from. You have the, you know, meditation, you have the consecration, you have the focus on God, and try to understand what is the lesson or the suggestion or the advice of God. You don't take it as just, you know, superficial line of words or, you know, few words from the mouth of God, and then Arjuna denies. Arjuna has never done that. What Arjuna has done, he has, you know, patiently heard him, listened to him, tried to absorb, assimilate them in his life. And if he had any question, he had asked the question to understand it further. Then Lord Krishna says that the moment you have that bent of character and the personality, the basis of sattva and the dynamism or the spirit of rajas, what does it do? The dynamism or the spirit of rajas is important for Arjuna to do the work in the war field. Because, you know, he needs to have the energy, the courage, the strength to face the things of the world in order to perform the task of God. The task given by God is to do the war. So you have to do the war. This is the task. War against what? War is not for just a war or capturing the territory. This is a war to remove the evil forces, to perish the evil forces, and to protect that, you know, the good forces on earth. Paritranayo shadhunang vinasayata duskritam. So, paritranayo sadhunam. You know, sadhu, you have to paritran, meaning the good people, the honest people, you have to protect. And vinashaya cha duskritam, meaning you have to perish, you have to, you know, face them and to, you know, push them to perish. The others, those who are evil forces. So you have to protect the good forces and destroy the evil forces. So you've got a twin responsibility. The moment you come in the front to protect the good forces and perish the evil, you will be confronted with by the evil forces. So you have to equip yourself with that. You have to become competent for that. You have to grow competent for that. That's why Rajagun double dose, what he says is correct. Because, you know, you have to have the sattva in your character, in your personality. But alone that won't do. So the driving force is the Rajagun, the courage of the Rajas, the dynamism of the Rajas. Then the Lord says, once you have this bent of personality, then you understand the role of God on earth. And this role of God on earth is, he has mentioned that he is there, Purushottam is there. Urdha mulaha adhu shakha ashyatam prahuhu abhayam chandanshi yasya parnani yaha tu veda saha vedabe. Lord Krishna is mentioning that Arjuna, look at this, you know, entire sky. Assume that there is a, you know, big, you know, banyan tree, big tree. And it could be fig tree or banyan tree. And, you know, the tree has got a huge trunk and there's a huge infinite number of, you know, branches and leaves with it. And it's got a huge long, you know, infinitely long the roots. But the tree is upside down. Urdha mulo avako shako. So, urdha mulo adho shako. Or urdha mulo avako shako. Now, its roots are on the, you know, outer space. It draws its own inspiration from there. It draws its own power and spirit from there. It draws its own nourishment from there. It draws its own spirit from there. And it puts it down by the trunk to the branches and leaves. And he says, the branches and leaves are the lives. And within that, he has further elaborated, saying that within that, the branches and leaves are there, representing the innumerable lives, infinite, infinite, infinite number of lives and varieties. But again, each one is again having the kind of ashwata within, the kind of that manian within each one is having. The shastrar, the contact point with the cosmic system, with the Lord, psychologically and spiritually you have, and that comes down to your entire existence, which is comprised of various organs and functional activities of those organs, and they make you or tend to make you bimulaha, meaning they tend to make you deluged. You are deluged. You have a kind of, you know, now these days there is a very popular word that, you know, you have got a passion. Passion is actually a negative word, but in the modern science, in the modern period, it is considered as a very strong positive word, which is, you know, again, one of the symptoms of tamaguna. Tamaguna considers a good thing as bad and bad thing as good. And there is a belief in a person who is actually Tamaguni, he or she develops a feeling and belief of something where you will actually find the good is considered as bad and the bad is considered as good. And that appears to the person as truthful. Lord Krishna says, Arjuna, you should be very, very careful about it. Being a devotee is not that easy. If you want to become a devotee, you have to first become a pure sattva-guni. And not only that, a sattva-guni person may be influenced by the tamas. Because the difference between sattva and tamas is only qualitative. There is no functional and quantitative barrier between these two. The functional and quantitative barrier is created only when the dynamism of rajas is added to the sattva. So when you are saying that I am truthful, sometimes you become truthful, you are saying, but then this becomes a word of your mouth, and then the character, the behavior, the life becomes different gradually. So the person thinks that person is truthful, person thinks that person has an integrity, but that's a misnomer. That is not actually the fact. The fact comes as a different thing. So what will have to be done? The thing that is to be done is to understand the spread of the Parampurusha or the Supreme on this entire creation, throughout this entire creation. How is he spread out? He spread out like air, he spread out like the akash or the sky or the vacuum or the space. He spread out like the, light, the illumination. He spread out like invisible connection between and among. So the moment you understand that, you make your personality oriented to sattva. So what Lord Krishna finally suggests Arjuna to become is, you become a sattva person fully, be honest to your truthful to your thoughts, your connect with God. If you receive any message from God in your realization, in your meditation, or in any other way, be truthful to that. Do never deviate a single from there. And you have the dynamism of rajas included in that. So be a dynamic person. Don't be an indolent. Indolence is what? Indolence is a symptom of the tamas. Indolence is what? It has been described very clearly. Radhakrishnan, when he has mentioned the Bhagavad Gita, done an analysis, explained this tamas very clearly. It is mentioned that, tamas person thinks that he is the best or she is the best. And he or she maintains the, whatever, she or he maintains is what is the right, but is actually fully wrong. And the tamas has a feeling of almost kind of same as sattva. As I mentioned, the sattva is a very docile, very simple, very honest, very clear, very focused, fully dutiful, never deviates from the path of truth, never deviates from the path of God, never deviates on any account for any reason. The tamas is just the opposite. It always looks for personal gain, selfishness. It's all desire-driven but can't do activities to fulfill the desire. It's all fully greedy, but can't initiate the challenges or face the challenges to fulfill the greed. It's a jealousy, but then can't initiate the task for fulfilling the jealousy. The moment the tamas has a initiative of that, it turns into rajas. And the tamas, in the mind, it thinks the way it has to be thought. In the mind, he thinks that he is deluged, she is deluged. He or she has a passion, he has, she has a, you know, attachment, and the passion, the attachments are all misnomer. And these are the things which make a person go down and down and down further and face the horrible situations in life, in the front, in the front, in the forward. That's why Lord Krishna has mentioned to Arjuna, be stick to that, be a sattva with a, you know, dynamism of the rajas, and now choose to follow the advice of God fully and do the work. And then you will find you are the winner, you are the person with a complete victory in the world of the thing. And in the world of the thing, you are not only a, you know, victorious, you know, not only a person who does a victory, then you have a realization. Then he says, what is the realization? The assume. The assume, you know, this Parampurush or the Purushottam is a person. Assume that he is a person who does not have any form, but a form. Does not have any form, but an invisible form. Kind of light, a form formed of light, a form created out of light. You know, and that form is having its own feet on the up, and the, you know, face is in the down, and the millions, 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 you know, the, it's got millions, millions parts of the organs, the eyes, the ears, the faces, the heads, the hands, the legs, of everything put together. Not only human species, but also all different species are contained within him. And he is the representative of everything. He is the combination of everything. Within him, you find everything. Arjuna then finally noticed that, yes, what he has observed in the, you know, the cosmic form of God, everything he is now in a position to understand and realize within. And he is now convinced that he has got that realization, and he is convinced that he should do whatever God suggests him to do. He should do that without any other consideration which had cropped up in his mind as an impact of the world, as an impact and imposition of the world. Now he has taken a resolve that he has to follow the words of the Lord and also the pathways suggested by the Lord and the suggestions for the, you know, activities and the duties as prescribed by Lord, and he proceeds that way for fulfilling the task in the world. And he has got a solemn task of, you know, fulfilling this agenda of God on earth and being by the side of God on earth to, you know, establish the forces of truthfulness in the world and to remove the forces of the evil impacts in the world, and thereby to create a new world, to create a new situation, to establish a new society, to have a new fate for human society in the future. With this, Arjuna had the understanding and the solemn declaration to do whatever God suggests and to go by whatever he guides him to do. This is what is the impact of and the result of realization of Purushottam, or the Supreme Godhead, or the Supreme Personality of the Divine, and as established by Lord Krishna and narrated to Arjuna for that. We pray to the Supreme for revealing his identity to those who are aspiring for that, who are serious in this journey, who are seriously pursuing or trying to pursue the pathways of God, O God. Thank you, everybody. We shall now do the chanting of the Vedic verses once again. ॐ बाग मे मनोसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनहो मे बाचि प्रतिष्ठिता
ॐ बाग मे मनोसि प्रतिष्ठिता
आविहि आविहि मे धि वेदस्यामानि स्तः श्रुतं मे मा प्रोहसिह अनेनोदितेन अहोरात्रान् सन्दधामि रीतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तद् मामभवतु तद् वक्तारामभवतु आवतु माम आवतु वक्तारम् आवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ अपयन्तु मम अङ्गानि वाक् प्राणः चक्षुः श्रोत्रमातः बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निरकुर्यात् मम ब्रह्म निरकरोत् अनिराकर्णमस्तु अनिराकर्णम्यस्तु धर्मस्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमादः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णम् उदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ सहनो अवतु सहनो भुनक्तु ॐ সহবীর্যম করবাবহৈ তেজসী নধীতমস্তু মা বিদ্বিষাবহৈ ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवति हरिः ॐ শং নো ইন্দ্রঃ বৃহস্পতিঃ শং নো বিষ্ণুরুক্রমঃ নমঃ ব্রহ্মণে নমঃ দেবায়ো ত্বমেব প্রত্যক্ষং ব্রহ্মাসি ত্বমেব প্রত্যক্ষং ব্রহ্ম বদিষ্যামি প্রীতং বদিষ্যামি সত্যং বদিষ্যামি তদ্মামবতু তদ্ভক্তারামবতু অবতু মাম অবতু ভক্তারাম অবতু ভক্তারাম ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुं देवाम् ভদ্রং পশিম অক্ষবীয়যুত্রাহ স্থিরৈয়াঙ্গৈ তুষ্টুমাংশতনুভিঃ বসিম দেবহিতং যতায়ু ওম শান্তি শান্তি শান্তিঃ We shall now do a meditation for 2 minutes. এখন 2 মিনিট ধ্যান করব আমরা সবাই. 2 মিনিটস মেডিটেশন নাও. Jai Ma, Jai Ma, Jai Ma. We're now closing here. We shall meet again next Sunday at Indian Standard Time, 5:30 in the evening. আমরা এখন বন্ধ করছি, আগামী রবিবার সন্ধ্যা 5:30 ইন্ডিয়ান স্ট্যান্ডার্ড টাইমে আমরা মিলিত হব। উইশ ইউ অল দ্য বেস্ট, সবাই ভালো থাকুন। উইশ ইউ অল দ্য বেস্ট।
খালি হয়ে গেছে।